Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, welcome back. It's 9:09 on KDXU. I say welcome back. Some of you are here for the first time, but I've been here all morning long, so I feel like a welcome back is in order. Good morning to you. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Mello is with me today as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you are.
There's the button.
Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with me today, Mello. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
There's like, some days I have like, okay, what are we going to talk about today? I have one or two things and that's about it. And then other days like today, there's like eight things I want to talk about.
Okay.
And so I'm like, man, how do I get to them all? And how do I have time to get to them all? Probably don't have time to get to them all, but we'll get to as many of them as we can. Let's start with religion. All right. This is not a religious show and I don't want it to be a religious show, but it is Good Friday, which is the day many Christians celebrate, maybe not celebrate, but honor the crucifixion of Christ. And of course, then Easter, the rolling away of the stone and the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, everyone has their personal feelings and beliefs about Easter, and I'm going to let people, you know, celebrate or honor it any way they want to. Mm-hmm. Some people are atheists or whatever, don't honor it at all. But there were a couple of things about Easter out there that were interesting to me. Number one, egg prices are very high.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are not dying eggs this year. And I'm not sure how we started dying eggs in the first place, but that's not happening.
I saw a really cute one where they dyed the back and then colored the front and it looked like a baby shark. It was adorable.
Oh, that is cute. I saw a kid on the street corner selling roughly egg-shaped stones for a quarter. saying, hey, and you say, well, wait, 25 cents for a rock? That's terrible. Actually, that's about half the price of an egg right now.
Right.
So why not, right?
Mm-hmm. Go hide those in your yard.
And then there's a Kraft jet-puffed marshmallows. They're selling a packet of jumbo marshmallows and a coloring kit. You can color marshmallows for Easter instead of eggs.
Cute. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but that's it. And not only that, cocoa prices are really high right now. So if you're buying eggs or chocolate right now, it's kind of a bad time.
Hmm.
So, but the one story, that's kind of trivial. The one story I thought was really interesting is the thoughts of young people and religion. As it turns out, right now, and this is perfect to ask you about, Mello.
Mm.
Right now, young girls are turning away from religion more than they ever have. But young men are turning toward religion, especially Christianity, more than they ever have. Mm-hmm. More than they have in the last decade.
Okay.
So women are choosing not to be religious, and men are choosing to be more religious. Why do you think that is? What?
I have a couple theories.
Okay. You always have theories. I love that about you.
Well, I have two daughters that are younger, not younger, but my youngest daughters. Mm-hmm. And both of them have turned away from religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that was, I was just talking to my 15-year-old the other day, and she said as soon as she was baptized at age 8, she felt that there was a lot of pressure to be perfect.
Mm.
And that if she did anything wrong, she was no longer perfect. And that it didn't help that her dad said, if you make any mistakes now, you're going straight to HE double hockey sticks, you know. So she just had that kind of trauma around religion. And I think also with like Generation Z, they don't want to be told what to do and they don't want to be accountable for what they do. And so I think taking religion out of it kind of takes away that cognitive dissonance for doing something wrong and knowing you're doing something wrong.
Mm.
And for
you,
boys,
you might say guilt is part of it.
Yeah, perhaps. I think guilt is part of it. And then I have another son. So I have two older sons that are adults. One's 29 and one's 27, almost 28.
Mm-hmm.
And the older one did go on an LDS mission.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was influenced by a girl that he was dating that wanted to marry a returned missionary.
Yes.
So grateful for that. He went to Brazil. He speaks Portuguese. And then my second son was actually a go-getter. He would go to every Eagle Scout project at like 6 a.m. as a teenager.
Wow.
He would go and volunteer. He would make sure the sacrament was being served. He did everything. He's an Eagle Scout. He did everything he was supposed to do. He turned like 17, 18. I was like, hey, so it's about time. If you want to go on a mission, you need to go ahead and put your papers in. He's like, I don't think I'm going to go. Mm. I'm like, oh, why not? He's like, well, I don't believe in God. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Well, that's a really good reason not to serve a mission.
That's a tough one for a mom
right.
to hear.
It was hard. But, you know, you have to let the kids choose. Let them decide what they want to do with their lives. So, but my younger son, he was just baptized just last weekend. And he's all in. He was reading the scriptures yesterday morning with his dad. And
nice.
And that's what he wants to do. So I don't know about the boys versus the girls, because my experience has been a little bit of both.
Hmm. Yeah, I look at my own kids and I'm like, well, you know, I mean, there really is not a trend male, female, as far as the mm-hmm. religion side of things. So I'm just sitting there thinking about why. I think part of it has to do also with the political climate of our world right now. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is very Christian. In fact, he put an Easter message out yesterday, which I thought was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And a lot, it seems like to me more males than females really are into the MAGA movement and Trump, and more. And this is perception. Maybe I'm wrong, and you know, folks certainly can call and correct me if I am. But I feel like more women are not into Trump, maybe given his philandering past with women a little bit. But and maybe that has something to do with it too. That MAGA is kind of religious, and the left is kind of not.
Okay.
I don't know.
That could be. That could be part of it. I do think that Trump has changed a lot in the last.
He has changed a lot. I agree.
Since his near death experience.
Yeah.
I think he's still rough around the edges, but he's less.
Yeah, he's
less abrasive, but he's still abrasive.
He definitely. And the thing is, he's the boss. So you say, well, he needs a PR guy. Well, the boss doesn't usually get a PR guy for himself. He's like, no, I am what I am, and people have to deal with that. And that's the way it is. But he's the boss. Not only is he the boss of all these gigantic corporations, but he is the boss of our country right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. He is rough around the edges. And sometimes people who are big Trump supporters cringe when he says stuff, you know? It's like, why did he say that? He didn't need to. And
I don't like it when he calls names.
Yeah.
That's one thing I think that you just need to improve your argument. But I do think that I like his candor, and I like that he isn't afraid to say what he's thinking. And when he asks, and when he's asked a question, he actually answers the question. He doesn't dance around the question and never answer it
like
a lot of politicians.
I was going to say very non-political. Usually a politician will. They have an amazing way of giving an answer that is no answer at all.
I know, like a word salad, right?
Yeah. Seriously. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting that it seems like young men are turning to religion and young women are turning away from religion right now.
And that could also be the patriarchy, not to like throw that in there, but in a lot of religions, the man is the one that's elevated as far as like their responsibilities, their say, their everything. And then the woman is sometimes subservient, so that may be more appealing to men than women.
Possibly so. So I also wanted to talk a little bit, and this is a good segment because we've got about 13 or 14 minutes to break. I want to play, this is Jesse Waters from Fox News, and this story is, and I'm going to relate a couple of other interesting factoids about it, but I want you to hear the first part of this story. Listen to Jesse.
Abigail Wheeler was a member of the YMCA in Springfield, Illinois. She was a part of the swim team, and after practice, she went to the girls' locker room to change. And that's where she claims she saw a naked man changing right in front of her. It was a man identifying as a woman, a trans man. And as any 16-year-old girl would, she felt uncomfortable. So she went to her swim coach, who said, there's nothing they can do about it. It's against the law in Illinois to discriminate against men in women's locker rooms now. Grown men can watch 16-year-old girls undress because Illinois is inclusive. So Abigail took matters into her own hands. Abigail and her friends posted signs in the locker room saying women's rights and biological women only. Mm-hmm. So she went to her swim coach, who allegedly kicked her off the team.
What?
And said she was promoting, quote, hate speech. Now, Fox News reached out to the Springfield Y. They deny it took place. But let's talk to that brave 16-year-old girl, Abigail Wheeler, and get her side of the story. So, Abigail, you saw a naked guy changing right in front of you at the Y in the locker room?
Yes, I did.
Was he saying he was a woman?
Yes, he was claiming to be a woman and changing in the women's locker room at the YMCA facility.
I'm not going to play any more of it because I think we've learned what we needed to learn. But she was the one in trouble, Mello. She was the one that got kicked off the team. She was the one that was told she was promoting hate speech by putting a sign up that said biological females only. Mm-mm. It's crazy to me to even think about that this happened. So there was another story. This is... So I think we're seeing a chink in the armor. Let's see if I can find a story here. Shoot, I knew I was going to lose it. Anyway, I'm just going to summarize it because I can't find it, so I will summarize it. In the United Kingdom, it's actually started in Scotland and then Ireland, now in Britain, but they have ruled that a female must be a biological female to be able to change in locker rooms and be on sports teams. Mm-hmm. That's an official rule from the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom. And I thought this was really amazing. The LGBTQ groups have started to break away from the transgender groups as far as this ruling. In fact, there's a group of, they call them Lesbians United or something like that, has gone to the women's rights side and said, these girls are right. We need to protect women's rights. We cannot have transgenders in women's locker room. Mm-hmm. This, I think, is the first I've seen anyway, Mello, of a chink in the armor. Of them finally going, women finally going, lesbian or whatever, finally going, you know what, this isn't right.
Right, all the women standing together is what it's going to take.
Yeah.
And I don't see why they can't just have a separate bathroom for, like, you have a family restroom. Like, if you have little children and you're trying to get a bunch of kids ready to go into the pool, they have those kind of restrooms. Why can't they have some assigned for trans to make it more comfortable for them and everybody else?
It just boggles my mind to think. Now I had my older daughter was a high school athlete, and you know, it was very competitive. For girls her age and her size, it was very competitive to try to make the team and compete. And then, of course, they had the locker room after and everything. And I just think, can you imagine if a boy who, you know, in high school here, they didn't have boys volleyball. They do now, but they didn't have it back when she was playing. Imagine a boy who wanted to be on the girls' team and what that would have done to the, it blows me away.
No, that would be so uncomfortable. So, it's already uncomfortable to go into the women's locker room and shower in front of everybody.
That's true. That's true.
So I can't imagine having a man in there, too.
Let me ask you a question about this. This is kind of off topic, but not. So my wife tells me that in most girls' locker rooms when she was younger, you know, when she was like in high school and just after, women had individual showers and individual stalls to do everything in. And my memory of all the times I was in men's locker rooms, there was a big pole in the middle with seven or eight shower spigots sticking out, and all you guys had to shower together. And there were no stalls or anything. You just went in and changed and whatever. So are girls' locker rooms a little more private than guys? And I'm asking out of true ignorance. I have no idea.
So the last time I recall was eighth grade, and I was in Spanish Fork, and we actually had an open shower like your wife was talking about. And the teacher would make sure that each of us showered. She would stand there and make sure everybody got wet and washed off so they didn't stink when they went back to class.
Okay, well, that's good.
So it was open and you were checked.
It was open.
But I don't remember the high school. I don't think I showered very at the high school one when I was there.
Interesting. I was just curious about that.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable for sure.
I told my wife, I said, you know, you've never been around naked men, obviously, but what about naked women? You have locker rooms and stuff. She goes, well, we all kind of had our own stalls and stuff. And I was like, really?
That would have been a lot more comfortable.
Because, in guys' locker rooms, everything was wide open and not in a good way at all.
Mm-hmm. So, no, thank you.
I don't know. What do you think about this young girl having this? And I know how you feel in general, but just the experience. I mean, you have a 15-year-old daughter. This was a 16-year-old girl.
And,
I mean,
I would have had to go Karen on him, the person.
I agree.
I would have gone in there and said, "What are you doing?" And I would have called some news stations. I would have been all up in that business.
Yeah. You know, we've gotten to this point in, so we're urged to stand up for what's right, which I think is fantastic, and we all should do. I mean, we do that right here on the radio station. Mm-hmm. We stand up for what's right. But I think a lot of us, our nature is to stay quiet unless there's something really bad. Mm. But I think this one maybe qualified for that, right?
Right. Isn't that like indecent exposure? Couldn't you be arrested for that?
You would
undressing
think.
In front of a child?
Yeah.
Like that could be
18-year-old boy and a 16-year-old girl and she didn't want it. And
oh, so it wasn't a man. It was a man literally, but he was on the team of the girls, so she knew him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different.
But he still had male parts, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's such a cop out for these boys that are underperforming on the boys' side. So they're like, hey, I think I want to be on the girls' side so I can kick everyone's butt.
Now, their argument, the trans movement argument is, well, nobody would transition just for sports.
Sure
nobody would do that.
Sure they would.
That's what they say, though. That's their argument. No, there's no way. He transitioned for other reasons. It just happened to be he wants to play sports.
I don't know. I think people hold their kids back for sports. I think there's a lot of things people do for sports.
Oh, you're right. You're right about that. Mm. In fact, I was told, I remember when my son was maybe 14, my oldest son. And my family's a little bit late bloomers as far as a growth. And my son, you know, like I knew when he was 18 and 19, he finally hit his growth spurt. He, you know, he grew several inches. He's kind of turned into a man muscle wise. And I remember one of the coaches telling me, why don't you, you know, I mean, cause he was born, he was like August birthday, which mm-hmm. means that he is the very youngest in his class.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach saying, yeah, just hold him back 1 year. But the problem that I ran into is, socially and intellectually, he yes. was as old as everyone else that he was in school with. And so I was like, how can I in good conscience do that to him?
I know. Yeah. A lot of people in my husband's family are of the position you should hold him back. So they're better at sports. And my husband talked to me about it for a minute. And I was like, no way. He is way too smart. And he's just going to be
it's true.
Not yeah. enjoying school. And I want it to be a good experience.
And if you think about what happened to school, it's, you know, the whole No Child Left Behind thing. They actually have to dumb it down and slow it down for so no child gets left behind.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a child who's already intellectually pretty far, and then you're I'm going to hold you back a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're making it even. How bored is your kid going
to
be?
Right. I did have one son that I had to hold back in kindergarten, and he was just a little delayed on his speech. And he had a late birthday, July 30th.
And that's different, yeah.
And he did. He actually did pretty well throughout the rest of his schooling because we held him back. So I think there's a purpose and a time for it. But just for sports, I wouldn't want to do that.
I found that quote from that story. Another interesting aspect is that the LGBT plus alliance is breaking up. The Scottish Lesbians took the side of the women's rights groups against the alleged transgenders.
Mm.
A lesbian spokesperson said that lesbians were tired of being called far right bigots for refusing to accept men into lesbian groups.
Mm.
Yeah, like I said, a little chink in the. And you're right. You're 100% right. It's got to take all women, whether they're lesbians mm-hmm. or whether they're straight. Or bi, whatever, they all need to stand band together and go, we don't want biological males who are different physically from us to be in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they've made most of the transition, you know, they've had certain things done to them,
mm-hmm.
they are still biologically made. It's just nature.
Yeah, you can't change. You can't undo that.
It's just nature,
man. Which is interesting.
Yeah, so. We are going to talk about when we come back from break. We're going to talk about some of the stuff going on this weekend. Mello, I've gotten to that age, unfortunately, and some health problems where I've got to pick and choose now what I'm going to do this weekend.
Mm.
I can't go to everything. I mean, the car show is tomorrow
yes.
out in Hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the county fair. It ends tomorrow. It's the last day.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the St. George Art Festival, which I've been to, I think, 30-something times
in a row. I
didn't
know that was this weekend.
That is this weekend.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, I'll probably hit the fair tonight. I got to decide tomorrow. Am I going to go to the art festival or the Easter car show? Because I can tell you this, I finally got my little cast thing off. I am playing pickleball in the morning.
I did notice that. Your legs are looking good.
Oh, thank you. I am excited. I am playing pickleball tomorrow. But the problem is when I play pickleball for a couple of hours, I pretty much have one thing left in me for the day as far
mm-hmm.
as physical. And art festival and car show require a lot of walking.
Yeah, it does.
So then I'm like, and there are people listening that go, dude, man, it's just walking around. Trust me when I tell you I will not have enough energy to do both.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to pick. Which one am I going to do? What would you recommend?
I think the art show.
The art show? Mm-hmm. Art festival?
Oh, yeah. I do love the car shows, though.
I was going to say, you don't know what the passion I have for car shows.
I do know.
I love them so much.
I know. Which one would your wife enjoy more? That's what you should do.
Oh, now you just pulled the card. That's definitely the art festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she, I know she's going to love playing pickleball again because we have not. She actually, in respect for me, she said, I'm not playing if you're not playing.
Aww.
So she hasn't, we haven't played for 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh, that's true love.
Yeah.
Because she likes to play.
It totally is. It totally is. She's too good for me. I know that already.
Got to marry up.
So definitely. All right, we're going to get a weather break in and a commercial break, but I do want to give away two tickets to tonight's pageant. It is the America 250 Freedom Pageant. The rain showers are supposed to clear. It's not raining right now, but by early afternoon, the rain are supposed to be over, so it should be a perfect night for it tonight. If you want to call and go to the pageant tonight, it's 673-5890. I've got four tickets. I'm giving away two right now. We'll give away two again in about 15 minutes or 20 minutes, so call right now, 673-5890, and yeah, go to the pageant tonight at the Washington County Fair. Right now, we're going to go to weather, though.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. It's 9:34 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Thanks for tuning in. Mello is here, and Milt is the winner of our tickets to the America 250 pageant. Mm-hmm. Milt's actually a friend of mine. And Milt, if you're still listening, dude, let's cruise out there together tonight, man. We can
go
have some really bad for you fair food and then go to the pageant.
Mm-hmm.
Fair food. There's something about fair food, Mello. And somebody was saying, oh, the calories. And in fact, my friend Suzanne went out there and had a corn dog. Now, anybody that knows Suzanne Leonelli is her name. She's like 5'10" and I mean, I don't do women's weights, but she can't be more than 110 pounds or something. I mean, she is thin.
She's fit.
And she's eating a corn dog, and I'm like, she didn't eat one. She said she missed a corn dog. She wished she had gotten one. And I'm like, when has Suzanne ever eaten a corn dog? I mean, she is so skinny. Her body fat percent probably is 1, you know, or something like that. And I was like, all right, Suzanne. But something about fair food. I don't think it should count on any diets.
Mm-mm.
My wife is calorie counting right now. By the way, she's done fantastic. She's lost like, I want to say 11 pounds or something, or 21 pounds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's been amazing. But, I don't think, you go to the fair, like, shouldn't all that stuff, it doesn't count, right?
Right.
I mean, you have a corn dog. Right?
I know. I want to get the Mexican street corn. I saw that when I went there the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
But I'll get one. We're going to take our son probably this weekend, so.
Yeah, do it. And they had Monday when I was there, someone came by and they had a hollowed out pineapple. They had filled it full of pineapple slushy and a big fat straw. And I was like, okay, I don't know who made that and how much it cost, but I am going to have one of those.
I want one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, and yeah, they probably go through a lot of pineapples and you wonder, what did they do? Hopefully they took all the guts of the pineapple and put it in the slush.
I didn't know it was slushy inside. I saw people with those and I didn't know. I was like, well, that's weird, but that makes more sense.
Oh, yeah.
I also saw the ones like in the boot, like the lemonade. Uh-huh, the
lemonade boots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw a few.
I got
of those.
Smaller size one, but it was delicious.
Aren't they like $20 or something? I don't know.
Yeah. It was pretty good though.
Anyway, looking forward to the fair. Like I said, I think we're going to head out there this evening and then catch the pageant. And then tomorrow, pickleball and still vacillating back and forth. Car show, art festival.
Art festival all the way.
Everybody's like, why don't you just do both? I don't think I can. I think my knees and my, I just don't think I can.
Maybe you need to get like a little jazzy. Have you seen that?
No, I refuse. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
All right, 9:37 on KDXU. I wanted to talk about this article. This is a very well-written article. A guy by the name of Ray Craig. The website is intellectualtakeout.org. The article is called, and that's what I'm going to talk about, Showing Up, the Quiet Strength That Shapes Who We Become. Showing up. Now, Mello, you know I've had an issue with some of our younger people, including someone that used to work here. They didn't show up half the time.
Mm-hmm.
They just I don't feel well today was a lot of the, or I'm going to work from home today, which is code for I'm not doing anything today.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to take extra PTO. They do you know they don't have vacation anymore in a lot of companies? They just change it to PTO.
Really?
And they give you a few extra days because they're getting rid of sick days and vacation days and just calling it PTO. And a lot of companies, mine included, doesn't have sick and vacation anymore. We just have PTO.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know people, and I know people who use every second of PTO during their lives. I thought this was interesting. A few years ago, my wife came home to me, and she said, "So I have this person at work who's really sick, and they had to go to the hospital. They're not going to die, but they're sick. And the problem is they've used all their sick days."
Mm.
And so somebody was going around the office today saying, "Hey, would you like to donate some of your sick days to this person to help them get better?"
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, okay, I guess that sounds reasonable." And I said, my wife says, "Well, you don't understand. Before she got sick, she was one of those people that used every single sick day because she didn't feel like going into work."
Mm-hmm.
"She used every one of her vacation days. She used all these days that were granted her. And now she's really sick."
Mm.
"And she doesn't have any days left. And everybody in the office feels sorry for this person. And they want me to donate some of my sick days that I don't use because I show up every day." And she says, "I'm in a little bit of a moral quandary." And I was like, "I see where you're coming from. That actually makes absolute sense. If you work with someone who takes advantage of the system and then something happens to them and they expect you to step up and help them, are you being unchristian-like if you say no? Or are you being, you know, kind of like, are you doing the right thing by saying, I don't think I should do that? What do you think?"
I think if your wife isn't planning on using them, then what does it hurt her to do that?
But there is a little caveat there. If you accumulate a certain number of sick days, you can use that to when you retire. You can either get money or you can get insurance paid for when you retire. So technically it does slightly hurt her.
Oh, then so, I think that you get to make your own choices as an adult, and that woman or man took all of their time.
It was a woman.
But it was a woman. So she took all of her time. So that's her consequence. Like, I'm all for like natural consequences. But if it's not going to hurt you and you are her friend and you want to give it to her, then give it to her. But I don't think someone should be shamed into giving it to her.
That's kind of what she felt. Someone was going around saying, "Hey, donate your sick days." You know, so there was a certain amount of almost public shaming about it.
I always just say to my kids, "Let me think about it," and they know that means no.
I'm
like, "Let me think about it."
Yeah.
They're like, "That means no." I'm like, "Let me think about it."
No was disguised as maybe in my house. My parents say, "Hey, can I do that?" Maybe.
Oh.
I knew that meant no.
I always just say, "Let me think about it." My mom had a thing on her fridge, and it said, "I'm the mommy, that's why." And she would just point to
one.
It.
Yeah. I will not give the end of the story to my wife's quandary because I did not ask her permission to tell the story. So, and I don't want to hang her out to dry either direction. But I will tell you, she was definitely facing a moral quandary when someone she works with came to her and said, "Will you donate your sick days?" That was a tough situation to be put in.
It is, so, especially publicly. Yeah.
All right, back to this article by Ray Craig. I'm going to read you the first few paragraphs because, first of all, I love a good writer. I think this is well-crafted, and what he says resonates to me. So here we go. "Of all the lessons I learned growing up, the one that made the biggest impression was the commitment to show up every day. On the farm, taking care of cattle and hogs never stopped. Dad had to do the chores, whether it was 100 degrees or a wind chill of minus 40, whether it was sick, sore, or exhausted. And once in a while, we all had to pitch in. One summer, the cattle got out just as our family was leaving for vacation. We had to stop and help get them back in before we could go. Nobody whined, no complaints. We just buckled down and got it done. Showing up isn't always about pushing through pain or bad weather. One cold February day, I was in fifth grade. I told Mom I didn't feel well enough for school. Because I rarely missed, she didn't question me. My younger brothers boarded the bus. My mom tucked me in on the couch before leaving for her bookkeeping job at the lumberyard. But I wasn't sick. I had recently lost a wrestling match to a kid at school who nobody liked, someone who was loud and brash, someone who would cheat with a dirty move whenever he could, someone who was the opposite of me. I felt like I should never have lost to him, that I was above him. Practice was that afternoon, and I did not want to risk the shame of losing to him again, so I stayed home, curled up on the couch, watching a Big East, Big Ten basketball doubleheader on ESPN, safe from any embarrassment. But, remember, his dad was a farmer, rancher. Dad wasn't buying it. The kitchen door opened, and I heard him yell, "Hey, I need some help in the barn. Why don't you get your clothes on and come out?" I couldn't believe it, but I didn't dare question him. Tears welled up in my eyes as I put on my work clothes, ashamed that Dad knew I was ducking something. We spent the next couple of hours power washing the pig stalls. After that, I showered, got dressed, and he quietly drove me to school. We never talked about it. No lecture, no pep talk, just a clear, unspoken expectation. I don't remember missing another day of school or practice ever again. Mello, like I said, I have... had this experience, and I hate stereotyping, generalizing the younger generation, but I've had this experience with a couple of different young people that just didn't seem important to them, showing up, just being here and doing their job. And in fact, it was quite the opposite. They did everything they could to not be here and not do their job, no matter who else it hurt or no matter who else it inconvenienced or burdened. They didn't care. And so when I read a story, and this guy is a pretty young guy. I mean, if he stayed home to watch ESPN Big East Challenge, that's only 10 to 15 years old. So this guy clearly is a guy who's probably 30 or younger. That encourages me because he's one of those people that I was taught to show up, to do the job, to be there every day. And I like that. I don't know. How do you feel about this?
I don't know. I think that in my experience, it's kind of hard with this younger generation because I've had kids that are older and then kids that are younger and even younger still, right? Mm-hmm. So I was always of the opinion that you should suck it up. Like, if you're hurting and you have a test and you're supposed to go do it, you should just put on your big girl pants or big boy pants. Yeah. And you should just go. And then I've had kids with, like, depression and mental health crises and things like that. And I literally drove my daughter to school when she said she couldn't go. She was probably about 12 or 13. Okay. I drove her. She wouldn't get ready. I finally, you know, "I'm going to take you in your pajamas. You should get dressed, you know." And I took her, and she had a full-blown panic attack in front of the school in the car.
Wow.
And what am I going to do? So I took her home. Like, some kids have such a visceral reaction to the concept or the reality of facing what's ever out there that they just can't function. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what happened. I don't know why it's so hard for some of these kids to face that. But there is another something that's going on that I can't put my finger on, and I can't fix by saying, "Toughen up," because I've tried.
Have you heard of Lou Gehrig? Remember, you heard of Lou Gehrig, the great baseball player?
Yes.
Lou Gehrig played in 2,130 consecutive games. They called him the Iron Horse. He never missed. He knew the power of just show up.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about, you know, 50s and 60s, but so it's a while ago. But they took an X-ray after Gehrig. Remember, he got Gehrig's disease, which is named after him. Mm-hmm. He got ALS and passed away. But they took an X-ray of his hand after he had passed away. He had 17 healed fractures on his hand.
What?
That he had accrued over the last 20 years while playing baseball. Now, you think about that. He had broken his hand at least 17 times during the course of his 2,130-game streak and played anyway.
Jeez.
He played through it. And it's like, wow, why can't... I mean, I look at, you know, and I feel like I'm a just-show-up kind of guy, unless mm-hmm. I'm in the hospital, but why can't I be as tough as Lou Gehrig? I mean, that's aspirational to me. I want to be like that.
I know.
That is incredible.
Yeah,
so.
And it is hard. I mean, I really wish I knew what is causing the younger generation, and not all of them, because there are some that show up. There are some that actually, like, I have a son, and he is a show-up kind of guy, and mm-hmm. he will show up when he's supposed to. You can count on him. He's like the guy on Liar Liar that can't lie. Like, you're like, hey, can you come and help me move this stuff? And he's like, yeah, there's nothing. Yeah. He's like, there's nothing on my schedule. I'll be there. Like, he will just show up if he can. And if he can't, he's just... My grandpa used to call him the little general. My grandpa was a Marine. And he just called him the little general from the time he was toddling around. Just knew what he wanted, and he was unshakable.
So, something to think about as we go to break here. Do you think Lou Gehrig only got sick in the off season? Do you think Lou Gehrig sometimes, when they were filling out the lineup card, wanted to go to the coach and go, you know, my hand hurts really bad. I don't think I can do it today. No.
I don't know. I think you and I, we just show up. Like, I don't have a sick day. I was sick one time 2.5 years ago when I got COVID, and I was in bed for a month with pneumonia. And that is the last sick day I remember. Like, I will be sick, and you have a game coming up, and I told you I'll be here, and I will be here, and I will run to the bathroom in between if I have to, if I'm feeling sick.
Somebody asked me on, today is Friday, Wednesday, I came down with this cold.
Mm-hmm.
Next day I came in and did my morning show, and I was like, I actually had someone ask me, why don't you just stay home? You're coughing and sneezing. Why don't you just stay home? I'm like, because I have a job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I showed up. All right, we'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Andy. She's Mello. We're hanging here on a Friday. Good morning to you.
Good Friday to you.
It is Good Friday. Not only Good Friday, but it is Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those of you who are Christian and religious, today is the day of Jesus' crucifixion. Sunday is the resurrection. That's why we celebrate Easter. I love it. Got a text from Jan. She said, well, it's long. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but she said that woman putting herself in the position of having wasted her sick time, referring back to the conversation we were having earlier. She said you would be correct with either decision in giving her the sick days or maybe saying, you know what, you wasted your sick time. Right. I'm not going to give them to you.
And so, we did have a caller that called in and talked about how it's related to the 10 virgins in the Bible, where 5 were prepared and 5 weren't.
Right. So she was not prepared for her sickness because she used all her time already. Yeah, okay. By the way, Kim was the winner of the pageant ticket, so Kim and Milt won today. That's pretty cool. Yesterday it was Dennis, Brenda, and then Tom were our winners. So I think I'm out of stuff to give away now. So, but I appreciate the Washington County Fair stepping up and giving us a bunch of free stuff to give away.
Mm-hmm.
I understand Lee Greenwood was very good. And I understand, too, Lee Greenwood, by the way, is 83 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
82 or 83. Anyway, he's in his 80s. And my son tells me that he was bouncing around that stage like he was 30.
That's fantastic.
And I was like, yeah, I probably couldn't do what he did.
No, so. And you also do have to pay an entry fee when you go to the concert.
That's true.
$3.
You got $3 to get into
and bring cash so you don't have to pay the transaction fee.
Which I think is weird that they make you pay to get in the fair if you're just going to the concert. Like, they almost should have a separate entrance. If you bought concert tickets, you should be able to get in.
Right.
Oh, one other thing. Somebody actually texted me and complained about this. You're not allowed to bring those stadium seats where you bring them and you can sit them. You're not allowed to bring those in. One lady said her husband has a bad back and needed a back, but they wouldn't let them take it in, so they just went home instead of going to the Lone Star concert. And
that's interesting, because I did see some people at the Lone Star concert that did have those seat things.
They let them in, huh?
A couple, I think they skirted by. Maybe they had a stroller to hide it under.
Oh,
but there were other people, because I was doing the gate on Wednesday night, and there were people they were sending back out. A lot of husbands were going back out to the car.
So I went to a BYU game last year, and I think the reason they were banning it, it's general admission, which means, you know, as many as you can fit in there. And they tend to take up a little more than one seat when you have those things. Not always, but oft times they're a little wider than what is allotted to you. And I know the row I was sitting on, there were like 5 or 6 people that had the stadium seats. And those of us that didn't have them were squished because they were taking up more than their share.
Right, but what if there's people that are oversized?
Yeah.
Like that. They don't turn them away.
I'm a big dude. Big storm last night. It was exciting, but it was a lot like I don't know, much ado about not much. We had lightning, thunder, heavy, high winds, up to 50-mile-an-hour winds. Mm-hmm. In fact, at one point, I was driving back from Bloomington back into St. George, and there was so much wind, there was so much dust being kicked up that one of the kids I was giving a ride to said, it's foggy out there. It kind of looked like it was foggy because there was so much dust in the air. Mm-hmm. But we did have rain a little and lightning and thunder, but I'm sad to report, and I'll include some of my reports and news today. St. George Airport only recorded 0.09, 9/100 of an inch is all that fell at the airport. In downtown St. George, they reported 0.12, so 12/100 of an inch. The highest rain total I saw from anywhere was Ivins, recorded 0.24 or 0.25 inches.
Really?
So about a quarter inch. But yeah, it felt like it was raining really hard.
It did. Driving in it was a little scary. I was on Red Cliffs Parkway. But couldn't see the lines.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot that accumulated, sadly. And we are way, way behind. This did very little to help us out of our drought situation.
But we did get rain, so we're grateful for that.
Little at a time. And it's supposed to actually rain a little today in the morning and early afternoon, but by evening time and the pageant and everything, it's supposed to clear up. And tomorrow, by the way, 70 degrees and sunshine tomorrow.
I'm just so grateful you told me it was going to rain yesterday because I was going to wash my car. So thank you for that, Andy.
I saved you 10
you
bucks.
You did. Yeah. Thank you.
Cool. It is, again, Easter weekend. We're down to the final minute. And again, the choices are this. You've got the county fair that finishes tomorrow. So it's the last days. You've got today and tomorrow. You've got the St. George Art Festival, which is today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think it starts at 4 o'clock today. And then you've got the Easter Car Show, the Hurricane Valley Rotary Club Easter Car Show. It's a big, long name, and I love classic cars. And so for me, I don't think I have time to do it all or energy to do it all. So I got to make some choices. And Mello says, whichever one your wife likes the most is the one you should go to.
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
But you know what she will say? Well,
whatever
honey,
you want,
that's exactly what she'll say.
That's silly. And she should say what she wants. Shelly, say what you want.
Okay. Maybe she wants us to stay home.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know she wants to play pickleball. We're doing that in the morning. So
have a great weekend.
We're out of time. Mello, thanks for hanging.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck selling houses this weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be back on Monday. Got some doctors lined up for later on in the month. It's going to be doctor time. Thanks for listening.